Today's message, to be held and kept. A lot of times, that's the words that give us a negative, because some people as slaves are held and kept. That's not what this is about. And as we go through this, I hope it gives a whole different meaning and understanding. But as we begin, I do invite you to join me in prayer. Most loving, kind Father, Son, and Spirit, God, we just thank you for every day, for the things that you bring up in our lives every day. And we can kind of get caught up in a routine, and we miss a few things. But God, you're right there, and it's okay. You continually reach into our lives. And this morning, I ask that you would take this message and make it yours. It is yours. Allow it to come out in the words that you want to be heard from everyone in this room, from those that are on digitally, that they will hear what you have for them. And God, I just praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are invited into an extended metaphor. And when I say that, last week we had a metaphor of the Good Shepherd. Today, this metaphor is a word picture. This is part of your imagination to take and put these into a picture that you can see. Again, last week it was a Good Shepherd, and we are his sheep. Today, we have another image, a vine and its branches. Now, I don't know how many here have visited a vineyard, walked up and down the rows and see what that looks like. I know one at the turnpike entrance at Mulvane is a vineyard that's been there a long time. There's a lot of work to a vineyard. There's a lot of skills and things that have to be in play if you want the vineyard to produce. So the analogy or the word picture that we have is this vine, branches, and a vineyard. Jesus, as we go into this story, and it's in John, is having a long talk with his disciples just before he goes to Jerusalem to be crucified. I think every one of us either has been on one side or the other of a long discussion, maybe with a family member that is moving away, or they have come for a visit, but you're not going to see them for years, maybe later. I think of the early parts of this country as people were migrating west. People loaded up in a wagon and said goodbye, with no hope of ever seeing their family again. So Jesus, I put that into this picture, word picture. He is talking to his disciples. He is sharing what he thinks they really need to hear. But he knows that he's going to come back alive. But there's going to be some trauma between this talk and when he comes back to see them alive. So he's sharing much, and he's giving them things to think about. He is encouraging, comforting his disciples, and we are his disciples. When you read the disciples, picture yourself as a part of that group, because you are. Even though he will die on a cross, his disciples will not be abandoned or left alone. That's a promise for us. We will never be left abandoned or alone. We can hold on to that truth, that reality that Jesus is with us always. In John's writing, we are comforted with the implications of Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension, and sending of his Spirit, along with the promise of his future return. The magnitude of those events are huge. Everyone has its place. And I can still picture in my mind a Bible club event. That was one of the lessons that I was tabbed to share. And I said this very thing of Jesus' death, and the kids, they could, okay, they knew that. His resurrection on Resurrection Sunday, okay, they understood and they knew that. His ascension back to heaven. They were tracking with me there. And granted, some of the older kids were tracking better than maybe the younger ones, but they were there. And the sending of his spirit, I really didn't hit hard, but it was there. And then I said, and he's coming back. And there was this pause, this look on so many of them's faces. They're looking at me, and I'm looking at them. And I, point blank, said, he's coming back. And there was a couple of them that looked, he's coming back? That was that question. Week or two later, I heard one of them reciting these things, going through the death, the resurrection, ascension. And he's coming back. And I was so excited. They got it. Most of this world hasn't figured that out, that he is coming back. So this word picture is something that we need to hang on to. We know the events. Every one of these has happened except one. And he is coming back. So as we think about those things, never let that escape that part of the story. What are we to do in the in-between times of his first coming and his return? Guess what? We are in those in-between times. And we don't know for how long. Only the Father knows. We've covered that before. So what are we, where are we at in this? What's our lives like? What are our expectations? Are there expectations? We are given one word to describe our relationship with Jesus. Can you think of what that might be? The word is simply abide. And that's not a word that we hear in everyday conversations very much, abide. What we are to do as we follow Jesus is that, abide. In today's text, which was read, John 15, 1 through 8, part 1, and there's going to be four little parts, but part 1 is in verses 1 through 3. To remain, this is abide, a definition of abide. A few words from a thesaurus. Remain. Persist. Stay. Hold on. Don't let go. Always hanging and holding on. In verse 1 of chapter 15, I am the true vine. True vine. Not the false vine, not just any old vine, but I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 2, when he says, removes every branch that bears no fruit, carries the weight. The branch carries and holds on to the fruit of the vine. Not the fruit of the branch, but fruit of the vine. But the branch is the one that is hanging on, that is holding on to. So we think about those in a word picture. Again, we grew up here for the most part, in the Midwest. We can understand wheat. We can understand hay. We can understand Milo. corn and recently some cotton, but we really don't have just these huge vineyards of grapes. You have to go other places to see large sections of that. But the picture of the branch holding fruit. What is the relationship between the vine and the branches? And I honestly, I didn't have a lot of background with grapes. The vine exists to nourish, feed, and grow the branches. The branches exist to bear the fruit of the vine. No one would ever approach a vineyard and make a distinction between a vine and the branches, much as that picture shows. The vine is feeding the grapes. The branches are holding it. Jesus wants us to know who he is and who we are in him. So this is first. Before he gives us the implications of that reality, Jesus would never command something of us that doesn't fit who he is. There's no false, there's no misleading, there's no, I didn't really get that. It's very clear when Jesus tells us. He doesn't mislead, but he gives us stuff that we understand. He will never command something of us that doesn't fit who he is. The Lord is consistent and trustworthy in all that he says and does. And there again, that's a large segment of the world. Don't trust. And for very good reason, most of their environment, their culture, hasn't produced a tremendous amount of trust. With Jesus and the Father, we can trust. Always. The second point, Jesus tells us who he is. Just like last week, I am. You go back to a reference in Old Testament, I am that I am. So we know he's very upfront. I am the true vine. So we know who that true vine he's talking about is. He's the real deal, if you want to put it in today's words. Jesus includes the Father as the vine dresser. The Father is intimately involved in all that goes on with Jesus being the vine. Do you recognize, do you value, do you say to the Father, thank you for being involved in my life? Thank you for having Jesus, who is my son, involved in your life. The third point, Jesus describes himself as the true vine. Just as last week, he describes himself as the good shepherd. So we've had those two words, good and true. So that's a positive that we're looking to. Just like last week, there are untrustworthy vines, much like there were shepherds that were not good. We must guard against listening to the false vines, to those that are not true. What are ways we hear from a false vine? Maybe it's a particular lifestyle, ideology. There's a lot of that change all over the world. Community. Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it reflective of the true vine? Social affiliations. Status level. Or any number of things we abide in that do not measure up to the true vine. And before you say, I don't do that, you're human. And we all fall into traps. Thankfully, the true vine is there to guide us and help us. And the fourth is Jesus tells us who we are. In our relationship with Jesus, he uses the images of branches for his disciples. Again, we're branches, if that's to put it in today's words. The vine dresser does not allow the existence in the vine for a branch to not be connected to the vine. Doesn't allow it. The branch has to be connected to the vine. The Father is not searching among the branches to see who he can take away. That's not who God is. He doesn't search and go, "Oh, you're not doing your part. We'll just take you out." No. The branches don't produce the fruit. The vine does. Anyone here, we're branches. We're not vines. We don't produce fruit. We support. We love. We carry. We help. The Father is pruning us in order that we can more fully be the branches we are intended to be. Pruning is not telling us the Father is displeased with our production of fruit. Verse 4, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So we know where our strength, where our nourishment, where our energy comes from. And we can't do it on ourselves. We can't all come together and rely on each other, and that's as far as it goes. We can help. Be positive, love, be in relationship, be in community. But where does the true strength come from? From the vine, from Jesus. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Doesn't matter if you've got the winnings of the last big lottery or an inheritance, that won't take you not very far. It will take you probably in the wrong direction very fast. You can do nothing apart from me. Verse 6, "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." If you're truly abiding in Jesus, in the vine, are you going to ask for things that is contrary to God? Will you be requesting things that don't make sense? No, you won't. So when we talk about ask what you wish, that's within the concept of who you are and who you understand Jesus is, the vine is. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." You know, I was going through this again this morning, and I thought of, and I didn't look up the scripture, but it says, "Take on my yoke, for it's light. Bear much fruit. Be my disciple." Again, the word bear, carry, support, stand up to, be in that relationship, abide. The life we are to live each and every day as a disciple of the Lord. We are not just hanging around. You know, a branch, no play there, you know. We're invited to live in the present, to live in union with Christ in the same way we will be living in the future kingdom that the Lord brings when he returns. We're invited to live in that world now. Is it supernatural? Is it heaven on earth? No. Is it special because Jesus is involved in our life? Yes, it is. We can rely on him. Another word that may be helpful alongside abide is receive. As branches, we are to receive our life from the vine. That's abiding, but we're receiving. That's the key word to come along. There is no life outside of a relationship with the true vine. We receive all things from the vine, from the true vine. That's the distinction, true vine. The only gift the Father cannot give us is the one we refuse to receive. I want to read that again. The only gift the Father cannot give us is the one we refuse to receive. He loves us. He gives us every possible contingencies, everything we can need, every things we ask for, and a whole lot that we don't. But if we refuse what God has given us, He's not going to force it. A quick summary of today's message. When we abide in Christ, we enjoy His rest and peace. To abide is to dwell, to remain, be present, and to be held and kept. Abiding is not about our efforts, because we are truly loved as a child of God. When we abide in Christ, our hearts are cultivated for growth. We see ourselves as branches with the potential to bear fruit. Christ is the vine on which we depend, and God as the vine dresser. Focus on that word growth. When we abide in Christ, our hearts are cultivated for growth. We're set up to grow. We're set up to be a part of what He's doing. I'm going to pose a question. Do we pray for growth in ourselves, in our church, in those we're around? Simple question. But do we pray for growth? In our daily conversations in prayer with God, is that part of the conversation? I have been very open for the last few weeks, especially. We need additional help. We need members. We need people for our day camps. We need a lot of things. And I believe God has said, go back to verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Do I pray for growth? After some of these conversations, some of these readings, yes, very much so. I think it's vital that we intentionally pray for what we believe, for what we know we need. And for me, a lot of that is just changing me. When I talk about praying for growth, a lot of that is just simply me. Numbers are numbers, but the growth in what God can do in each one of us. When we abide in Christ, we produce good and lasting fruit. When we accept or receive Christ, we produce good and lasting fruit. John 15 and 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, so that your fruit could last. When I talk about growth, when I say growth of self, do you want to last? Do you want to not walk away from God? Do you need that intervention of Him to daily reach into your lives and draw Him to you? I do. I believe we all do. Next week, we will pick up the second half of this passage. As it was said in Bible Club, come back next week for the rest of the story. As we come to this portion of the service, I want to read Mark 14, 22 through 25. Again, these aren't new words, but I want you to think and ask God to put what He wants in your minds and in your heart. This is in the upper room with the disciples. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He said to them, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." I'm going to blend a prayer from the service, from the message, and ask for God's intervention and healing or blessing of the elements at the table. You bow your heads. Jesus, I thank you for this word picture and just reading it afresh today. I believe that there are people listening to this who have this image on their walls or a stained glass in their sanctuaries or on prints on their nightstands. Lord, and yet it can be so easy to walk right by that every day and forget the essential spiritual truth of it, which is that we are called to cling to you, to abide in you, to be rooted in you, that all our nutrients that we need in life solely come from you. And I pray for everyone listening, Lord, that even this week in the season that we have, as we draw near to you and think about spiritual practices, and we just pray, Father, that you would help us to sink our roots into you, that your Holy Spirit would be the lifeblood flowing through all of us, that, Father, the fruit that comes out of our life would be out of the abundance of the work that you're doing in our life. And we truly believe the truth of this text, Father. That is, we can't do this, but you can. And you are in us, and we are in you. And Lord, there'll be days we don't even want to live the Christian life, but you want to. And you are in us, and we are in you. And Father, at the end of our lives, when we have looked back at any fruit we may have produced, carried, we want to be able to say, we didn't do any of this, but you did, because you were in us. And we were in you. So I pray this week, Father, that we might cling to you. Cling to the vine. Prune out anything that needs to be pruned. Cut those things that are not worthy of your kingdom. Throw them in the fire, Lord, that we might continue to grow and celebrate those as cutbacks and not just setbacks in life. And we pray that ultimately, through this, we might become a flourishing, fruit-bearing plant that has great value to you and your kingdom. As we look at the table and the fruit of the vine and the bread that you have provided, that Jesus has provided as his body and his blood, God, we thank you. Help each one of us as we come to the table to hear from you, God, that you would speak to each one, that we could learn to abide, to follow what you're doing in our life, that we allow your presence to guide us. And we pray this in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, as we end our service today, we thank you for your presence and the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As we leave our church, constantly remind us throughout every day that we are the branches that cannot live without being connected to Jesus, the vine. May your love course through Jesus and course through us constantly. We cannot flourish without your love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And our benediction this week is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Have a great week.